Shalom Aleichem. Good Shabbos. Happy Friday. Welcome, my mishpoche, chevarim, my friends and family, to another episode of Self Improved. Let's get into it, and I can't wait to share with you a little revelation epiphany I had. It's a great analogy. Let's go. Okay, everybody, let's get right into this. So I was thinking, you know, because I've been through some little like crises recently. Not fun at all. I don't recommend it to anybody because it's made me very nihilistic, and I don't want to die anymore. But I want to experience true peace, but I don't want to force that death. Because side note, side rant is, we're all going to die anyways, and we're all going to inevitably experience that deep, deep, pure peace. So, since we're gonna experience that inevitably, why not? Why not experience as much as I can while I have this three-dimensional consciousness? Why not, right? It's a why not situation to me. Why rush the end of this awareness, you know? So, anyways, that's that. But I was thinking, since I was detaching from the world and dissociating from a lot and just looking at things as the observer, not identifying into it, the form, and I was then thinking, like, you know, life is a canvas. When you're a baby and a toddler and a kid, you're literally just starting out by drawing a few lines, sweeping the brush back and forth. There's nothing, it's okay, it's pure and innocent, and you're building the painting. And other people teach you how to paint, right? You don't actually know how to paint organically. You know organically how to look at the painting and just observe it for what it is. But you have been programmed to start the painting a certain way. And some people even will paint for you at the beginning. So, also, the analogy goes deeper when we start thinking, you know, you're painting it a certain way, right? You say you want to be a lawyer. You say you want to be an athlete. And you start painting it that way. But then something out of control, someone comes barging through the room that you didn't even know or didn't anticipate, and they bump you or grab the paintbrush and sweep it across a certain way that was completely out of your control. And it's permanent paint, so you can't go back and change it. It's on there forever. And you grieve the loss of the painting that could have been, right? And when people become suicidal, they really get really depressed that way or anxious, they feel as though they want to just leave the room completely. They want to stop painting completely. Or they just want to throw that painting out completely. And family and friends will never get to see that again. And the one thing we have in our control is our attitude. And so we get to go back to that canvas that someone just smeared all across and ruined our painting we loved and that we expected to look a certain way. They ruined it. But we can build on top of it. We can actually go back and we can paint over it or make it, if it's something even worse than that, we can't paint over and start over. Guess what we can do? Like, let's say it's worse. What I mean is someone came and ripped your canvas, right? The rip you cannot patch up. The rip is going to be visible forever. You've got to learn to carry that is your unique one-of-one painting that people are going to love, including yourself can love, because you've been taught not to love yourself. And you've been taught to love yourself. So you can love that big tear through the canvas someone did. And you can paint around it. And you can make it a beautiful painting still. There are so many people out there that have made beautiful paintings with whatever. You can make a painting beautiful with a tear in it. Trust me, if you're good enough, if someone is good enough and perseveres enough, they can make a painting beautiful, even though it has a rip in it. So you can do that. And I think a lot of people, they don't have the patience, so they sit and mope about their painting because it's ruined now, and that's the way it's going to be, just ruined, versus saying, you know what, it's going to take decades, but I'm going to start painting over this in white. I'm going to create a white canvas again, and the person chips away and starts painting it white again. And this is the beauty, because there's so many possibilities. Like, they chip away, paint the whole thing white, start from scratch, they're patient, they do it all again. Or, for example, someone's painting in white, and then halfway through that white painting, you know what? I've accepted for what this is. I don't need to keep painting this in white. and they go back to, oh, I'm going to, you know, add this color now a little bit. And that's also an option. That's the beauty of life. You can do both. You can be repairing yourself and then accept, or you can fully repair yourself, fully start over to accept that new reality. It's all about acceptance. But this painting analogy is so true. This is why it was an epiphany for me, is I realized someone came along when I realized I wasn't Jewish, despite living a Jewish life, and tore up my canvas. And now when I go to other people's houses and art shows and I see their canvases aren't torn, it reminds me of what I could have had or what I thought I had for so long. But that is part of it, is I carry that and decide to spread love instead of hate. So I carry that with me. That painting is mine. And I decide to show people the tear and say, this is my tear. You can make a beautiful painting with your tear. And the fact that you don't have a tear, you're grateful, I love that you're grateful. And let's say someone isn't, I say, hey, if they're in as much pain as I was when I had a tear, I'm not going to ridicule them and say, well, you don't know how bad it is because you don't have a tear. You have a clean canvas and I don't. Well, that's my own healing I haven't done. So that is where it's important to go and just be sympathetic, because I understand their pain. I truly do. And now I can actually help more people because I understand more people. And so I feel bad almost for the people that can't help others or can't fully empathize with this level of pain. It truly allows, in my opinion, for liberty, and it allows for pure empathy and compassion, actually. And if I'm put on this planet to be hurt so bad by an identity crisis that I get to love people more, then Baruch Hashem, I don't care if anyone out there says I can't truly connect to God with my Jewish neshama because I don't have a Jewish neshama. I actually don't care, because that's a philosophy. And if they're going to see that philosophy as fact, then they're actually not philosophical. And that's what I realized. We all have a canvas, and really bad shit can happen to it, but we can still make it one hell of a cool piece of art. And notice how all art is different. You can't say that art is better than that art, because it's all subjective and different types. Like, you can't say, oh, that oil painting's better than that sketch, that pastel's better than that acrylic, because they're all just different types. And so we're all different types of art. And then so even in the realm of, oh, look at all the acrylic, let's say there's a room full of acrylic paintings, you can't even at that point say that acrylic's better than that one, because people have used different colors. They've made different shapes. They've made things look different. It's all beautiful. It's all wonderful. Or it's all horrible and all horrendous. It doesn't actually matter the words we use, because it is all one. It all just is. That's the peace we need to look for in our life, is everything just is. And this is why recently, Baruch Hashem, for this identity crisis, that made me step back and just see everything as a joke, everything as an illusion, everything, truly. And so I just get to share that peace and share that observance and awareness with everyone in my life. And it's a deep, deep paradox that I can't even fully explain, because when I feel love and happiness and joy and sadness and embarrassment and jealousy, I am observing it. So even though I crave to be around those who love me and those I love, it's still the same as all the other contraries, because I'm observing those attributes. I'm observing those things. I just got a call. I got to take that soon. So I'm going to head out. I'm going to end this very soon. But because I could talk about it forever, but I hope that really resonates, is that it all just is. Like, these paintings are all unique in their own way, and that's what makes them beautiful in their own way. And we need to own that. And I've started to really own that, and I had to grieve. I really had to grieve, but no different than grieving a loved one that's died. It was the same when I grieved my identity that died. It hurt, but then I realized I have life to experience. You know, like, I'm at peace with that. Just like you become at peace with a loved one who's gone because you can't bring them back. I cannot bring back old identity. My old identity is gone. What I know cannot be unlearned. Therefore, I'm at peace with that reality, because I'm a one of one painting. I was comparing myself to a ton. I was in a room full of Jewish paintings. And so it hurt not to be part of that room. When I realized, wait, there's millions of other rooms out there, literally millions of other rooms, and I can experience it all. I don't have to be sad that I'm not experiencing one type of reality. I get to experience my own unique reality. I mean, that is so cool, because I've come to realize, not to sound like a narcissist or egotistical maniac, I have a pretty unique one of one life, and that I am freaking grateful for. Keep this PG, this episode, I'm gonna swear. Love you guys. I'm gonna keep you to that. Good Shabbos. Shalom Aleichem. Have a great week. I'm feeling better despite still, I still grieve. A person will never stop grieving a loved one's death. They'll never stop grieving a death with a relationship to anything, something that they've lost or something. I will forever, but I hold this as ammunition for empathy, compassion, love, kindness, and peace. This is ammunition for that. And Baruch Hashem for that. Anyways, we'll see what the next 80 years of my life looks like, folks, with these kind of thoughts. Love you guys. Zev Weisdorf signing off.